Boker Tov, everybody. Welcome to the third of the three-part series of Rabbi Liebtag on Mamad Har Sinai and various points in the Chumash. This morning, Parshat Beit Hanan. And like I mentioned just earlier, I hope those who were online yesterday really enjoyed what I think was a wonderfully inspiring and very informative day. Tonight, of course, Mark Shapiro will be continuing what he started last week on his book on letters to Rabbanim. We'll have Gedolim across the wide spectrum, and we'll have continuing classes all week, of course. And without further ado, Rabbi Liebtag, Mamad Har Sinai and Parshat Beit Hanan. Thank you.
Thank you. I think today's shir, I'm hoping, will be the most interesting. The reason why is because we have a repeat of the Ten Commandments in Sefer Dvarim, which we sing about on Friday night with Zohar v'Shamor. And I'm sure everyone knows that we read the Ten Commandments twice. It's twice in the Chumash. There's tiny little differences. Actually, there's some major differences in Dvarim. The goal of today's shir is to understand not only why are the Ten Commandments repeated in Sefer Dvarim, but more so, how Sefer Dvarim can help us understand the purpose and the deeper meaning of the Ten Commandments in Mamad Har Sinai. In fact, what we're going to see today, the topic of the Book of Dvarim is Mamad Har Sinai. So let me begin by explaining what Sefer Dvarim is not. I'm going to do a quick review of something I hope you're familiar with. But if you ask Jew on the street, who's gone through basic Jewish education, and ask him, what is Sefer Dvarim? The classic answer is, go ahead, Jay, give me the classic answer.
Classic answer, it's a review of the Chumash.
Okay, and of course that can't be the right answer, for a very simple reason. Because all you have to do is read Chumash and read Dvarim, and you see it's not a repeat. There's nothing from Sefer Bereshit repeated, except maybe God's name. But not even the story of Amnon and Tamar. I mean, Yehuda and Tamar. Yosef and his brothers, nothing is there. The story of creation, the flood, none of it's there. The story of the 10 plagues, the story of Kriyat Yamsuf, it might be mentioned, but it's not repeated. The burning bush. The first thing you have repeated in Dvarim is pretty much the story of the 10 commandments and what happened at Har Sinai. And we'll see why very soon. You don't have anything about the Mishkan. Most of the laws in Parshat Mishpatim are not repeated. And basically nothing, almost nothing of Breshit, and almost nothing from Breshit, and very little of Shmot, almost nothing from the laws of Vayikra, and maybe 20% of Bamidbar. And even the stories in Bamidbar are repeated very different. And the laws of Bamidbar, almost all of them are missing, like Parah Aduma or Nazir Sot and things like that. So just, again, you can double check that yourself. That's not our topic today. What I want to clarify in the beginning is the misconception that Dvarim is a repeat. And therefore, the reason why the Ten Commandments are repeated in Dvarim is not because Dvarim is a repeat of Chumash. Understand that? And that's critical in understanding the Ten Commandments in Dvarim. The reason why the Ten Commandments are repeated in Dvarim is because it's the main topic of the book. And now I want to explain why. We're going to begin the shir to understand where is Sefer Dvarim in Sefer Shmot, in the story of Mamad Har Sinai. And then we'll see why we need to understand what's happening in Sefer Shmot to appreciate what Sefer Dvarim is about. The goal this year is to understand Sefer Dvarim and its connection to the Ten Commandments and the Brit at Har Sinai. So we're going to begin where we left off. I'll do a real quick review. We had the Ten Commandments in the Mamad Har Sinai, the Theophany, in Parshat Yitro. That was chapter 19 and 20. That was our main source in the beginning. And then we had a parallel story in the end of Parsha Mishpatim in chapter 24, where we say Naseh V'Nishma. And last week's share, we tried to show why the rabbis read the story in Parsha Mishpatim as happening at the same time as the story in chapter 19 in Parsha Yitro, and why it's sort of an epilogue to the whole story of Mamad Har Sinai. That was our topic last week. I'm going to return to chapter 24. In fact, we're going to go right to 24:7 because that's an easy pasuk to remember. I'm going to share my screen and go to my Tanakh, which should still be here, not my Google Calendar. We want Exodus 24. And remember good old 24:7. Moshe took the Sefer HaBrit, read it out loud, and everyone said, Naseh V'Nishma. Moshe took the blood and sprinkled the blood on the people. And this is the symbolic of the Brit that God made with you at Har Sinai. And then Moshe and Aaron, Nadav and Abihu, go up and they see God from a distance. We talked about that last week. And that's fine. So that ends that section from verses 1 through 11 in chapter 24. That is, again, the covenant. And according to most commentators, that happened back in chapter 19. In verse 12, in Pasuk Yud Bet, everyone agrees. In fact, that's exactly what Rashi says on the spot. This is happening after the Ten Commandments. It has to be. And Pasuk Yud Bet Yud Chet, which we're going to read now, is a story of Moshe Rabbeinu going up after the Ten Commandments for the first 40 days. And let's read about it. It's very simple. Let's read Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Ali Elai Hara. God tells Moshe, come up the mountain, then Yesham, and be there. It's not just for a day, for a while. But Nalachat Luchota Evan, HaTorah VaMitzvah Asher Katapti Lahorotam. This is the most important pasuk for our shir today. Moshe goes up the mountain to get three things. Luchota Evan, what we call the tablets. Remember, who knows two? Two of the tablets. Shnei Luchota Brit. Luchota Evan. The Torah, which doesn't mean what we call the Torah. That's with a Y. That's sort of a joke. It's not when we say Hagba, we call it Zot HaTorah. But in Chumash, the Torah doesn't mean the Torah. When we refer to the Torah as the five books of Moses, that's not what Moshe is getting. He's getting a set of instructions. The Torah is a set of instructions and the mitzvah and the commandment. Now, it's very unclear what these two things are. The Luchot Evan is crystal clear what that is. What is Torah and mitzvah that Moshe is going up to get is clearly unclear for a simple reason, because there's probably 10 different opinions in the commentators of what that means. And if every commentator gives a different interpretation of what Torah mitzvah are referring to, that's a proof that the pasuk is unclear. Why it's unclear, we'll talk about later. Some people say Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebapeh. Some people say Eben Ezra, it's referring to the Ten Commandments, the Asseis and Lot Asseis. Numerous different opinions. We're going to suggest something a little bit different in today's share, which I'm writing to teach them. Then Moshe goes up and tells the people, now Aaron Hur in charge. Moshe goes up the mountain. God's glory is on the mountain. The people see Moshe going to ball of fire. And then Pasuk Yitret. Moshe is up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights to receive again Luchot Evan, the Torah and the Mitzvah. Now, if Chumash was in order, what does Moshe receive? Well, the next chapter 25 is Parshat Truma, all the laws of the Mishkan. But of course, again, you probably remember from kindergarten that the laws of the Mishkan were given after Chataiga. And if I follow Chazal, what Moshe goes up to get on Har Sinai in the first 40 days is the entire Torah, in addition to the Ten Commandments. Maybe everything except the Mishkan, if I follow Chazal. But what I want to do now is simply follow common sense and Chumash. Moshe goes up to get Luchot Evan, Torah and Mitzvah. What should he do when he comes down? After 40 days, he should come down and teach the people the Torah and the Mitzvah. They come together with these Luchot Evan. But when he comes down, he can't do that for a very good reason. Everyone knows why. Because Moshe should come down after 40 days and teach the Torah that God just gave them, and then they should continue on their journey to Israel. Moshe can't do that because we have a situation. What's the situation? Better known as Chet Ha'Egel. And because of Chet Ha'Egel, the whole topic of Sefer Shemot changes. And without going into details of Chet Ha'Egel, Moshe can't teach the laws that he received during these first 40 days because the very covenant is in question. The covenant is broken, symbolized by Moshe breaking the Luchot. God tells the people, even though I won't kill you, I'm not going with you to the land of Israel. Go on your own. I'll send a malach to take care of you, but I'm not coming with you. Moshe prays in chapter 33, please, don't abandon us. Come with us because we're your people. And Moshe has to negotiate a new contract with God called the second Luchot, which come with God's Midot HaRachamim, his attributes of mercy. And only with God's attributes of mercy will Am Yisrael be able to remain God's people even though they're not worthy. God reaches the conclusion because of our behavior, we're stiff-necked people, we're an Am Kshei Oref. And if we're an Am Kshei Oref, God says, if I travel with you, I have to punish you right away. You won't survive. Moshe says, you have to come with us, but we want to survive. And therefore, the only way that this relationship between God and his people will remain intact, God has to change the contract and add attributes of mercy. And that's the topic of Parshat Ki Tisa. And once that agreement is reached, Moshe goes up to get the second luchot in chapter 34. When he comes down with the second luchot, what does God declare? Even though these 10 commandments are very strict, you should know that even though it says that I'm a zealous God, I'm an Elkanah, I'm also an El Rachum B'chanun, I'm a merciful God. Even though it says there, Lo Yisa, you won't take away, you won't carry away sin, God is no say avon tefesha. Even though God says, Lo Yenake, you won't clean away sin, God says, V'nake, Lo Yenake. Famous shir on God's attributes of mercy. And that will allow God to dwell with his people and to show God that we really care and want to be his people. God doesn't bring the Shekhinah back right away. Am Yisrael has to build a Mishkan, Vasu l'mikdash v'shachamti b'tocham. No. Because of that, when Moshe comes down, he can't teach the laws that he received on the mountain. He goes up for the last set of 40 days and comes down on Yom Kippur. What should he do when he comes down on Yom Kippur? Besides teaching the laws of the Mishkan, he has to teach the people all the laws he got on Har Sinai in the first 40 days and the last 40 days. And that's exactly what happens in chapter 34. This is less known because it's the end of a very long parsha. But if you look at the end of chapter 34 in verse 27, this is after God declares his Midot HaRachamim and repeats some key laws. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu to write all these things down on Mount Sinai. And we'll just read in verse 29. Vahi beredet Moshe mihar Sinai v'shnei luchot eidut biad Moshe b'rito min ahar Moshe lo yedak ki kerna or panav. Moshe is coming down with the second luchot. This is famous pasuk that Michelangelo's, you know, has Moshe Rabbeinu with horns. Misunderstanding. Quran doesn't mean that he had horns, rather his face was shining. Everyone was scared. Moshe breaks the ice with them, calls them home, and then finally in pasuk lamed bet. V'arachin nikshu kol b'nei Yisrael. After Moshe breaks the ice with the leaders and the people, Moshe finally comes and meets them, coming down with the second luchot, and then he does what we would expect. What does Moshe do? Moshe commands the people everything that God told him on Har Sinai, which is what? All the laws are received on Har Sinai on the first 40 days and the last 40 days, Moshe teaches them. And then it says, Moshe would finish teaching them, he put on a mask. Maybe there was a virus. There was a famous Corona joke on these psukim. He Quran or Panav, and Moshe putting on a mask afterwards. I don't know if you ever saw that joke, but that was the Corona Minatora B9. It was Moshe putting on a mask and with Quran or Panav. That was Purim Torah way back. Now, I'm sorry, getting off track. What's important for this year, let me just summarize for those who came in late. What I'm trying to show you, and here's where we begin our shir, I need to find, where do I find these laws that Moshe teaches the people when he comes down from Har Sinai? The rest of Sefer Shmuel from chapter 35 to the end, Vayikra Pekudei, is only the laws of the Mishkan. But here we're told that Moshe taught the people everything that God commanded him on Har Sinai, on the first 40 days, the last 40 days. I have the laws of the Mishkan in Sefer Shmuel, but I never find in Sefer Shmuel the laws that he taught that he received on the first 40 days. Because when he came down with the first luchot, I don't have them because we had Chataega, we had the sin of the golden calf. When he comes down now, indeed he teaches the laws, but we don't know what they are. We know that he taught them, we don't know their content. I don't find them in Sefer Vayikra, because Sefer Vayikra is the book about how to use the Mishkan once it's built. That's most of Vayikra. It's about how to use the Mishkan and the Korbanot and Tuman Tara. Most of the laws are from the Ohel Moed. Now there's some laws in Sefer Vayikra that were given on Har Sinai, like Parshat Bahar. It could be, but it's not all the laws. We'll see very soon. And I don't have them in Sefer Bamidbar either. What I'm looking for is the book where I find what are the laws that Moshe taught the children of Israel when he came down from Har Sinai. And that's going to be the topic of Sefer Devarim. Let me repeat that because that's the key to this year. What I want to claim is, what is Sefer Devarim? Sefer Devarim is as simple as could be. Sefer Devarim is a speech that Moshe Rabbeinu gives, which is not a review of the four books of Moses that preceded it. Rather, it's a review of the laws that Moshe received on the first 40 days on Har Sinai. And to prove it, all we need to do is read Sefer Devarim. Got that? In other words, the children of Israel have heard these laws before. Moshe taught them to the first generation when he came down from Har Sinai. The reader of Chumash has never seen these laws before. And therefore, what we're going to find in Sefer Devarim, Moshe is going to teach the new generation, as they're about to enter the land of Israel, he's going to review over and over again all the laws that he first received 40 years earlier in Har Sinai, and why are they so important for the book of Devarim? Because the laws in Sefer Devarim are how to fulfill the covenant in Har Sinai on the national level, how to become a people serving God in a land as a sovereign nation. And therefore, these laws should have applied to the first generation, but because of the sin of the spies, everything was put off for 40 years, for 38 years, and they were not applicable yet. Therefore, even though the first generation was taught the laws, Chumash never tells us the laws in the books, in the earlier books. Rather, Chumash saves them for the way Moshe teaches them the last time he teaches them to the new generation in the 40th year. Once you understand that, almost everything in Sefer Devarim will make perfect sense. It'll explain all the discrepancies, the differences, and what's special about Sefer Devarim. Because we're going to find that 90% of the laws in Sefer Devarim we never had before in Chumash. And almost all the laws in Chumash before him we don't find in Sefer Devarim. But rather, Devarim will be a review of the laws that Moshe received on the first 40 days. Now to do that, all I need to do is read Sefer Devarim. But I can't start from the beginning, because Devarim is one of those books that if you read from the beginning, you'll be totally lost. You read the first line, these are the things that Moshe told Bnei Israel. And then we have this whole list of places, every Arday, Midbar, Arava, and 11 days. This is, we'll return to this verse later on. But this is the first two lines is very cryptic. And then in the 40th year, in the first day of the 11th month, Moshe is going to tell these commandments to the children of Israel after they defeat Sihon and Og. And he gives his first speech. We're going to skip the first speech, which goes from chapter 1 to chapter 5, to chapter 4. If we have time, we'll talk about it maybe a little bit later on. It's an introductory speech. In a nutshell, it's explaining to the people why it's been 40 years since these laws were first given. But let's begin now in chapter 5. Chapter 5 is the beginning of a speech that Moshe Rabbeinu delivers in Sefer Devarim. We're going now to chapter 5. And all you need to do is read it in simple Hebrew. From chapter 5, we'll see, till chapter 26 is one long, lengthy speech. And in any good speech, the first line should explain what the speech is going to be about. Remember the rules of every speech? Say what you're going to say, say it, and say what you said. Now, in the opening part of the speech, Moshe will explain what the speech is about. And take my word for it now. You can check it out later on. After the first phrase of verse 1, Moshe calls all of Israel together. That's the narrator of Chumash speaking, V'yomer Elohim. And here I need a quotation mark. And Moshe begins speaking in verse 1 with the word Shema Yisrael. The nation of Israel is gathered. Moshe gathers them together and tells them, he starts with Shema Yisrael, Tachukim, V'tamishpatim. And he continues talking to the end of chapter 26. If you're bored one day, read from here to chapter 26. You won't find any break in the narration. Moshe is speaking one long speech. It's a long day. Now, listen to the opening line because it's key to understanding what the speech is about. What does he tell them? Shema Yisrael, listen up, El Chuki Bamishpatim, to these laws, statutes and laws that I'm commanding you today, and the most important topic for Shavuot, Ulamaretem Otam, Ushmartem Lasotam. I think this is the essence of Torah in motion. Keeping Jewish law is not only keeping law, we have to learn them and keep them. Part of Jewish law is not just keeping the laws, it's learning the laws. These are laws that have to be studied and kept. I think we'll see the whole concept of Limud Torah, Vishinantam Levanecha, will be in the next chapter. But in Moshe's opening statement, I'm about to teach you a set of laws. These are laws that don't only have to be read and kept. These laws have to be studied and passed down. Now, I would expect the next line to be law number one. But before Moshe Rabbeinu can teach the laws, he has to explain under what authority is he teaching these laws. And therefore, the next line is probably the most important. Hashem Elokeinu, Karati Manu Brit B'Chorev. Hashem, I'm going to say Hashem, our boss. You'll see why I'm saying that in a minute. He made a covenant with us at Har Sinai. Meaning, the laws I'm going to teach you, they're binding upon you because you entered a covenant with God on Har Sinai 40 years ago, but you have to keep these laws, and they're binding upon you because you made a covenant with God. Oh, they might say, hey, that was my parents. And then for Moshe says, no. Lo atavoteinu. It wasn't only with your parents that God made that brit, because everyone is part of that brit. And that's the concept of Sayu at Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu is here saying, the brit between God and a people, in in Parsha Yitro, in chapter 19, that brief that God made wasn't a brief between God and that generation. It was a brief between God and the people. It began with the first generation, but that brief is multi-generational. It's an eternal brief between God and the people. And as long as we remain God's people, that brief is binding upon us. Then we get to the topic, which we talked about in our first share. How did God speak to you and make the covenant in Har Sinai? Panim b'fanim, diber Hashem yimechem bar mitoch ha'esh. God spoke to you directly, face to face. We talked about that plan B. That was a high level. But maybe that was the original plan. What happened instead? Onochi omeid ben Hashem u'benachem beitahi. I became the middleman between you and God at that time. La'gid lechem et dvar Hashem, to tell you the words of God. Ki yareitim b'bnei esh v'lo alitam b'har lemor. You were fearful. Remember we saw the story how they chickened out. They became fearful. And you didn't come up the mountain. Maybe you should have, but you didn't. You stood at a distance, and I taught you the rest of the laws. Now, there's an argument. Is Pasuk Dalet, Panim B'Fanim, the first two, and Pasuk Hey, the last eight? Is Panim B'Fanim the first 10, and Pasuk Hey, everything that follows the Ten Commandments? Or is Pasuk Dalet God's original plan, which never happened, and Pasuk Hey is how we receive the Ten Commandments? Again, that would be, we discussed that in our first year with Plan A and Plan B, and the dialectic at Har Sinai, how close we are to God, and how you have to look to God, look for God to find him. But again, that was our topic in our first year. What's important for me today is this is the introduction to the speech. Now, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do now? Because he said that Hashem, our God, made a brit with us at Har Sinai, that brit to be this nation serving God was formalized with the Ten Commandments, what we call the Ten Statements. And therefore, in that context, he's quoting the Ten Commandments. He's not quoting the Ten Commandments as part of a review of Chumash. He doesn't tell the story of Mamad Har Sinai, of Plan A and Plan B and all that. Instead, he says, these are the laws of the covenant that you made with God at Har Sinai. And this you heard more directly from God than everything else. And he makes some small changes. That's not our topic for now. Why the small changes? It's the same basic idea. Then we're told, these words that God spoke to you, Moshe wrote them down, these 10 statements, on Luchot Avanim. Remember, Moshe received Luchot Avanim. And then, what happened? Listen carefully. When you heard God speak to you, and you heard the mountain burning, and you got very scared. You came in front of me, all your leaders came, and you said, Moshe, we're believers. We heard God's voice. We believe that, you know, God is great, and we know that God can speak to man, but any more of this, we're going to die from this great fire. If we continue to hear the words of God, because what mortal could possibly be so close to God and stay alive? Instead, Moshe Rabbeinu, kravatah ushma, you go up. You're superhuman. You're Moshe Rabbeinu. You're an Isha Elokim. You go up and tell everything that God says. Tell us everything that God says. And when you come down and speak to us, listen to Pasuk Chaf Gimel carefully. In some of your Tanachim, this will be Pasuk Chaf Dalet. There's a different girsav. I mean, there's a different way to count the psukim, depending on how you count the verses in the Ten Commandments. So in your talk, this might be Chaf Dalet. But again, we're in chapter 5, verse 23 here, or verse 24. What does Moshe say? What does the people tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Listen carefully. Moshe, you go up and listen to everything that God's going to command us. See the phrase again, Hashem Elokeinu. And here's the big line. Remember we had Nasev and Nishma to what God was going to say? Now, after the Ten Commandments, the people say Nasev and Nishma, not to what God's going to say, but to what Moshe is going to tell them that God said. And now Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the liaison between God and the people. Again, that was probably God's original plan. We'll see in a minute, because God likes this idea. But Am Yisrael is saying Nasev and Nishma to anything that God says, that anything that Moshe tells them, that God said to him on Mount Sinai. And this is the acceptance, this is the principle of the Rambam, that when we believe in the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, we're saying, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and tells us these laws, he's not making it up. It's not that Moshe was given the right to legislate by God, and Moshe makes up the laws. No, every law that Moshe teaches, he's simply repeating what God called him on Mount Sinai. Moshe might explain the laws in Sefer Dvarim, but the laws themselves are divine, they're from God. And Am Yisrael should have heard them from God. They were scared, and therefore they accepted whatever Moshe says in God's name, they'll accept and keep. God heard this request and said, oh, what a great idea. Memory tiva shirdibero. They should always fear me so much. And now listen carefully to the key of the entire book. Lechem or lechem shuba lechem lo lechem. This is after the Ten Commandments for sure. And God tells Moshe, go tell the people, go back to your tents. And that's why the Ramban proves that this is not the same story we had in Shemot where the people became scared and stood at a distance. This is a different story. This is what God tells Moshe to tell the people, go back to your tents and you stay here with me for a long time. God tells Moshe, you stay here with me. I'm going to speak to you at kol ha-mitzvah v'chukim ha-mishpatim. God tells Moshe, you stay with me on Har Sinai. I'm going to speak to you the entire mitzvah. We'll talk about what the word means. Ha-mitzvah. And the chukim ha-mishpatim. Asher t'lamdein, that you must teach them. V'asu ba'aretz asher asher onochinu ten lam l'rishta. I have a set of laws that come part and parcel with the Ten Commandments. There are a set of laws. There'll be structure to them and a purpose of them. And these laws are to be kept in the land of Israel. They're not only laws that relate to the land of Israel as far as like planting and agricultural laws. They're laws about how to become a nation in the land of Israel. It's not the land of what's called mitzvot ha-tlod ba'aretz, like Trumot and Masrot. This is laws about establishing a government in the land of Israel, establishing an economic policy in the land of Israel, having an army, and when you go to war and who goes to war. Laws about a judicial system. The laws of how to take a people, a nation of slaves, just free from Egypt, and how to turn them into a nation representing God, that's going to take a detailed plan. And those would be the laws of Sefer Devarim, a set of laws that makes us a nation serving God. And then Moshe says, these are the laws, you have to keep them and follow everything God's saying in order to live for a long time on the land. Again, Moshe, before he teaches the laws, is telling the people, you made a brit with God in Har Sinai. You had the Ten Commandments you heard from God, and then you begged me to teach you the rest of the laws, and these are the laws that God gave me to teach you. What's my proof? Just look at the next line, the beginning of chapter 6. Chapter 6 is what we just saw, but now it's explicit. What's coming up now, Moshe says? V'zot ha-mitzvah v'chukim ha-mishpatim. What's coming up in this book? The mitzvah, we'll see what that word means in a minute. The commandment, what I want to claim is, ha-mitzvah is he-idea, like the, definitive the. It's all commandments are created equal, but some are more equal than others. There'll be one mitzvah, which supersedes all the mitzvot. Ha-mitzvah, we'll see, it will be loving God and fearing God. It's what we call when we say Shema every day. There's the mitzvah, the most important mitzvah, which is the essence of the covenant. It's a way of life. In addition to the mitzvah, there'll be also statutes and laws, chukim mishpatim, which God commanded me to teach you. Again, what's coming up in this speech, Moshe says? What I'm about to teach you, we have two sections, the mitzvah and the chukim mishpatim, which God is commanding, Hashem, your God, is commanding me to teach you, to keep in the land that you're going to inherit. Why should you keep them? And why in order that you learn to fear God, and keep all of his laws that I'm commanding you, you and your children and your grandchildren, forever. And not that you as an individual should live, but you as a nation and a people will stay in your land for a long time. We'll see. Arichut yamim in Devarim is in contrast to exile. Arichut yamim in Devarim is the nation of Israel living for a long time and staying in their land as opposed to going into exile and punishment. And then, v'shamat Yisrael, keep all these laws. They're good for you. And you'll multiply if you keep them, as God promised your forefathers, in a land flowing of milk and honey. That's the end of the introduction. Don't close your eyes, but look at the next line. The famous Shema Yisrael that we all know by heart, and we see every day, is the beginning of the laws that Moshe received together with the Ten Commandments. Let me explain how important this is. You might remember an ancient custom that in davening, they used to say not only Shema every day, in fact, the Beit HaMikdash, they would say Shema Yisrael every day and the Ten Commandments. But we stopped saying the Ten Commandments because people thought only those are from God. And therefore, they were so important that they took them out of davening, so it shouldn't become too important. Rabbi Kelman will give you that share one day about how the Ten Commandments, why they're not in the Siddur. But what remains in the Siddur, not just the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael is Moshe Rabbeinu, after giving this introduction, is about to begin the laws. He's about to begin the HaMitzvah section. And I'll show you in a minute. The commandment, which is the most important commandment, is Avat Hashem. Only makes sense. A covenantal relationship. The most important thing is not just the covenant, the technical contract, but the feeling, the love, and the desire to be a member of that contract. That's why Chazal compared it to a marriage. But before he begins, he wakes them up, Shema Yisrael again. That's his opening line several times. Remember, he began in verse 5, in chapter 5, Hashem Elokeinu krati manu brit b'chorev, Hashem our God made a brit with us. Who is this God? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our boss, who made a brit. He's not only our God, he's everyone's God. He's the only God, Hashem Echad. And this double statement is key to Judaism. What are we saying? It's called Kabbalat Omachut Shamayim. It's accepting the yoke of heaven, meaning we need to recognize, even though he's our boss and we're commanded to be his people, the God that we're representing is everyone's God. Hashem Elokeinu doesn't mean he's our God and no one else's God. He's saying he's our boss, we work for him, but the God that we're working for and we represent, he's the one and only God. It's not that we have our God, they have their gods. Chumash is not accepting that it could be every nation has their God, the national God. But rather, there's one God, Hashem Echad, but we, as God's people, were chosen by God to represent him. Just like Shabbat was separated from the other days of the week to be the liaison, to be the funnel that brings God into every day of the week. And just like the Levites are separated and given Kedushah to teach Torah to the other 11 tribes, God separates one nation, gives them a special status, but for the purpose of that separation is for the sake of all the nations. And therefore, the most important point we have to emphasize every day is not our belief that God exists, that we take for granted. Of course, God exists. That's a different topic. But the key understanding that we have to say every day when we say Shema is not the existence of God, but rather the understanding that we're chosen to serve him. What the rabbis call accepting the yoke of heaven, Kabbalat Omachut Shamayim. An ol is a yoke that the farmer puts on an ox to plow the field. Accepting the yoke means accepting the responsibility to work for God, which is followed by what your attitude needs to be. Ideally, how should you serve God? Through love. Love God with all your heart. It's giving 100%. Now, in addition to attitude and love, you also have to follow a set of laws. There's halachot you have to keep. What's that referring to? That's the laws of Sefer Devarim. The Devarim, which was introduced in the beginning of the book, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom. These laws I'm about to teach you. Remember this phrase, Hayom? All these words are the mitzvah and chukim mishpatim. All these words and laws and rebuke that God, the Moshe, is teaching you today, on this day, remember in the 40th year, all these laws, keep them on your heart. And not only you have to keep them, vishinantam levanecha. That doesn't mean you teach them. And I don't look at that English translation. I think it's a mistake. That the teacher's lamed. Shinun is to repeat. Listen carefully. The laws of Sefer Dvarim are not just laws you have to learn. These are laws that require constant repetition. Remember, there's lots of laws. I don't need to know and by rote and repeat the laws of Tzarat every day and the laws of Sefer Vayikra about how to bring korbanot. But the laws of Sefer Dvarim, the laws coming up in the speech, they need constant repetition. And what do you call a set of laws that needs constant repetition? Mishneh Torah. Mishneh means to repeat, l'shanim, over and over again. And why is Devarim called Mishneh Torah? It'll be called that later in the Mitzvah of the King. It's not because it's a repeat of the first four books of Chumash. Rather, it's a set of laws that needs constant repetition. And these Devarim that I'm teaching you today, you need to learn them by rote and repeat them all the time. And talk about them when? They surround you 24/7. And then you break them in your tefillin, remember? They're put them on your doorpost. In other words, these laws guide your day-to-day life. And that's what's special about the laws in Devarim. These are the laws, the most practical laws of day-to-day life as God's people. And these laws require constant repetition. That's his introduction. And before I go any farther, just to prove my point, that again, this begins its speech. It goes all the way to chapter 26. It comes with the Ten Commandments. Look how the speech is going to end at the end of chapter 26. Remember, these things I'm teaching you today, Alav Avecha, and includes Mitzvah and Chukim Mishpatim. I'm going to skip to the end of chapter 26. Remember that day that Moshe was talking about? The end of the speech is very simple. Hayom Hazeh, It's been a long day since chapter 5. Even though I'm teaching the laws, these are God's laws. Hashem Elokecha mitzavcha lasot. Hashem, your God. Hashem Elokein, Hashem Echad. He's commanding you to keep these laws. I'm just telling you the laws. At these chukim and mishpatim. V'shamayta v'asitotam b'chol l'bavcha b'chol nafshecha. How do you have to keep these laws? With all your heart, with all your soul. That's the two parts of the speech. The attitude, the hamitzvah, and the chukim mishpatim. Keep the laws with the right attitude. And then we go back and repeat, we sort of renew the vows of Har Sinai. And this takes us right back to chapter 19 in Shemot. What did you take upon yourselves? Et Hashem emarta yom, you, the nation of Israel, took upon yourselves today that he'll be your God. That was Brit Milah we talked about in Brit Sinai. Lalecha bedrachav, that's doing Mishpat and Tzedakah, the story in Sefer Breshit. This is Breshit chapter 17, Breshit chapter 18. Avraham was chosen, Lalecha bedrachav Hashem, to do Mishpat and Tzedakah. To keep all of his laws, to follow halacha, and to obey him in any commandment he gives you. What did God take upon himself? Hashem emircha yom. God appointed you today. God took upon himself today that you'll be for him, his am skula, like he told you at Har Sinai, to keep all of his laws, and to put you in a leadership position above the other nations. For what purpose? Letila shemu tiferet. For God's reputation, name, and glory. By our keeping these laws, that will make God look good. That's how we represent him. Uliyatcha am kadosh. Keeping these laws will make us an am kadosh. L'Hashem Elokech kasher diber back in Har Sinai. You understand what Moshe is referring to? Let me stop this share and just show you, just repeat this from what we've seen before. Let's go to our Adobe. But we talked about the outline of the speech in Devarim. So Moshe begins the speech in chapter 5, how we receive these laws. Chapter 6 to 11, we'll see, is the mitzvah section, loving God and fearing God. It's from Shema Tavayim Shema, we say every day. We'll see chapters 12 to 26 of the Chukim Mishpatim section, the laws that will establish us as God's nation. Now, the speech began with Shema Yisrael Chukim Mishpatim, and we just read the ending. Before I read the ending, I want to go back to the first shiur we gave. On the first shiur, we talked about before we receive the Ten Commandments, the contract, we enter this contract by accepting a proposition from God. What was God's proposition? Remember, before we accept to be God's people, God says, look what I did for you. And now, im shemo tishmu b'koli, will you obey me and keep my brit, brit sinai, the new brit, and you'll be my skula mikol amim, kili kol aretz. If you keep that, atem tuli mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. And in light of that, we got the Ten Commandments. Look how that's echoed in the grand finale. This day, God's commanding you to keep all these laws, keep them with the right attitude. You took upon yourself that he'll be your God. You'll follow his ways, keep his laws. God took upon himself that you'll be his am skula, as we said before, kashri ber har sinai, to keep all the laws, and to put you in leadership position for God's glory and name and reputation, and that will make an am kadosh. So what I want to claim is, the very concept of Brit Sinai, which is our first year in chapter 19, accepting our acceptance of God to be our boss and to serve him as a nation. Remember, a priestly nation, not a nation that everyone's a priest, but rather a priestly nation, a sovereign nation that's going to represent God to the other nations, a nation separated from the other nations to serve him. Our contract will be the 10 statements, or what we call the 10 commandments. But the laws to apply that and make that happen are the laws in Sefer Devarim. How will we become a nation serving God? Keep the laws of Devarim properly, and we'll make God's name great. Then after chapter 26, we're going to have the Tochachot. If you keep the laws, I'll reward you. Life will be good. Don't keep the laws, boy, you'll be in big trouble. And therefore, that's my key point of the shir, is that the laws in Sefer Devarim are simply part and parcel with the Ten Commandments. The speech of Moshe is giving from chapter 5 to 26 are the laws that he received on the first 40 days that come part and parcel with the Ten Commandments. They should have been implemented right away. Had we not sinned with Chet Egel, we would have received these laws of Sefer Devarim and continued right to Israel. There would be no need to build a temporary temple, the Mishkan, because we didn't break the brit with Chet Egel. And that's why Sefer Devarim doesn't say a word about the Mishkan, because the laws in Devarim are a reflection of what Moshe receives on the first 40 days. That's the ideal. What do we have in Sefer Devarim? Not a Mishkan, but a Mikdash. We'll see very soon in chapter 12 one of the biggest themes in the book will be when we become a nation, we have to have a central capital city, a hub. Where it'll be, well, the truth, God will help us choose the place. We have to look for it. Later it becomes Yerushalayim. But the place is described by its function. HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shaken Shmo Sham, the place that God's going to choose to make his name known. And that explains why why the Ten Commandments are repeated in the Devarim. It's not part of a review of all the first four books of Chumash. It's very different. It's the book which applies the concept of the Ten Commandments, of our covenant to be God's people, how to make that happen as a nation in the land of Israel, as a people. And I'll just give you a couple quick examples. Now, before we go any farther, I want to go over what we say every day in Shema. The connection between Shema and the Ten Commandments makes a lot of sense now. And that's why we fulfilled this commandment of Vishnantam Levanecha by reading the bookends of the Mitzvah section. The Mitzvah section is the right attitude, loving God and fearing God. That's the key of the covenant. But it won't work unless you keep halacha, which would be the chukim and mishpatim, the balance between your attitude, what's called machshava or hashkava, which is part of Jewish learning, and keeping halacha, which is chapters 12 through 26. That's a balance that we have in every Jewish education system. We have to teach loving God and fearing God, and that's called, I guess, chassidut more, and then keeping halacha, we'll call that misnagdim. And we need the balance between the two. Now, I want to give a quick example of how these laws apply the Ten Commandments. First, a word about the Ten Commandments, which I don't think we have talked about themselves. The way I view them, they're 10 statements. And what were the 10 statements? The first statement is, I'm your boss. Not that I exist, but rather God's existence is taken for granted. We believe that that was the process of coming out of Egypt. Assuming that we believe in God, we need to understand there's a purpose of why God took us out of Egypt. I'm the God took you out of Egypt to be your boss. That's Hashem Elokeinu. He's the one who took us out of Egypt to be his people. And therefore, the next commandment is, I'm your boss, and you can't work for anyone else. In fact, almost any contract you'll find anywhere begins with who are the two parties. We define the two parties and the relationship between them. Who are the two parties? I'm the God who took you out of Egypt. I'm the one and only God. I took you out of Egypt. I'm your boss. And most important, you can't work for anyone else. No moonlighting. You're exclusive for me. If you follow me, I'll reward you. If you don't follow me and you work for another God, well, you're in big trouble. I'm a zealous God. I'll punish you, etc. Then we're told, don't carry God's name in vain. You're chosen to make God's name known. That's not just a technical thing. You can't curse God when you're missing a foul shot or something. But not carrying God's name in vain means you're chosen to carry God's name, to make his reputation known. Don't do a lousy job. What we call, don't do a chilo Hashem. Now, we need to remember this every week, and that's Shabbat. Why is Shabbat in the contract? Because Shabbat is an oath brit, isn't it? We had that in Parshat Ki Tisa. Shabbat is an oti le'olam. And therefore, the Ten Commandments include Shabbat because Shabbat is covenantal, because it's the reminder of the covenant in Har Sinai. And it's a reminder that we're chosen to serve God. And just like God picked one day of the week and made it special, God picked one nation out of 70 and made it special to serve God. Therefore, it's in the covenant. Honoring tradition, honoring our parents, is necessary for the covenant to remain eternal. The idea of teaching this to your children and the need for parents to teach their children to respect tradition and respect their parents. In other words, honoring parents is not just a commandment on the children, it's also a commandment on the parents to teach the children to respect tradition. That's covenantal because it keeps the covenant going forever. It's critical, it's cardinal to the covenant. The last five, I think, is really one. Because not to kill and not to steal and not to an adultery and swearing falsely, that is universal. Every nation has to keep those laws. God wants everyone to keep them. But you're my people, you don't even think about it. That's called lotachmod. If you understand what I mean by that. Lo tachmod means don't even think about it. It's called preventive medicine. Because when you find murder and stealing and adultery and swearing falsely, it doesn't begin with that. It always begins with wanting something that's not yours. And probably the second half of the Ten Commandments is a principle of a way of life of Judaism. When something's important to you, you prevent it. It's called preventive medicine, what I call don't even think about it. And lo tachmod, maybe it's too much to ask from all nations, as God's people, It's so important to us, we don't even think about it, because we of all people could never dream of doing murder or adultery or stealing or swearing falsely and things like that. Those God wants all mankind to keep, but we as God's special nation have to be a light to the other nations, and therefore, to make sure we don't act that way, we don't even think about it. Anyway, that's a little review of the Ten Commandments. Let's go back now to Sefer Dvarim, and I want to show you some examples of what happened, of these laws. So I go back in Sefer Dvarim, and let's simply go back to the beginning of the book to prove my first point. Pictures there. Before the speech begins, this is the introduction to the book. What's coming up, Eila Dvarim, remember? The Dvarim is referring to the speech. This is how Ibn Ezra and Ramban explain the book. What's coming up in this book are the laws, or the speech, the words, the Moshe Tabanei Israel, numerous times. Now listen carefully. The laws of Sefer Dvarim, Moshe first received them in Har Sinai. He taught them to the first generation when he came down with the second Luchot. But because these laws have to be kept as we enter the land of Israel and establish a nation, and these laws in constant repetition, Moshe is going to repeat these laws over and over and over again. That's Mishneh Torah. It's laws that need constant repetition. Therefore, we're told, how many times is Moshe given this speech? He gave the speech now in Iver Yarden. That's where the speech is now. He also gave them back in the Midbar. He gave them in the Arava, Mosuf, wherever that was in the Sinai. Between Paran and Tophel, he gave the speech. In Laban and Chatzirot, basically Moshe gave the speech numerous times. And especially on the 11-day journey from Horeh, from Har Sinai, to Kadesh Barnea. In Kadesh Barnea is where Moshe sent the spies in the first year. And from Kadesh Barnea, we should have entered the land of Israel. That was an 11-day journey. What did we do on that 11-day journey from Har Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, which should have been the journey as we're about to enter the land of Israel? Moshe taught the laws of Sefer Dvarim over and over again. They were drilled over and over again because those are the laws that are going to make us God's nation. Now, why didn't we keep them? That's chapter one in the story. That's why Moshe begins the first speech with the story of the spies. His first speech is about what went wrong, why the first generation didn't make it, and why these laws were no longer applicable to the first generation, and why they're not applicable to the new one. And therefore, in the 40th year, in the 11th month, God tells Moshe to teach these laws one last time to the new generation. After we began our conquest, we defeated Sihon and Og, which is a sign that God's with us. And therefore, in Ever Yarden, in the land of Moab, Moshe is going to begin teaching this Torah, these laws, to the people. And then this is opening speech where he explains why it's been 40 years, mostly the story of the spies, and then how God indeed is begin the conquest. And then if I go quickly to the end of the speech in verse 4, Moshe gives what they call the historical speech. It's really a pep talk, so they shouldn't become free. Then he tells them, Batei Yisrael, follow these chukim shpatim I'm about to teach you today. So in order that you live and keep them and be worthy of conquering the land, don't add to them, don't take off. You know that God punishes, and listen carefully. In the introduction to the speech in chapter 4, Moshe tells them, pay attention, I'm teaching you today chukim mishpatim, which God is commanding me to teach you, to keep in the land you're going to inherit. This is the introduction to the laws of Dvarim. And then make sure to keep them and do them, because it's your wisdom in the eyes of the nations. When they hear and see you keeping these laws, they'll say, whoa, what a wise and important nation this great nation is. Kimigoy gadol, where do we find a nation that's so close to God, like Hashem, our God, or our boss, every time we turn to him? Umigoy gadol, where do we find a nation that has such just and upright laws, like this Torah that I'm teaching you today? Remember how we began our share? What does Moshe Rabbeinu go up to receive? Three things. Luchot Evan, Torah, and Mitzvah. Here we have a definition of what the word Torah means. This Torah that Moshe is going to teach in Sefer Dvarim, what does it include? It includes Chukim u'Mishpatim. A Torah is a set of procedural law. Earlier in Chumash Torah, there's a way to bring a Korban Chatat, Zotrat HaChatat, Zotrat HaOla. There's a Torah for the Sotah, Zotrat HaKnoot. There's a Torah for the Mitzorah. There's any procedural law of how to accomplish something in Vayikra and Bamidbar is called a Torah. We have it over and over again. Now I'm going to have a Torah of how to fulfill to become a Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. In other words, the laws in Sefer Dvarim are going to be a type of a Torah because it'll be a set of procedures, a set of laws that we keep that have a goal to become a nation representing God. And therefore, here we see Chokim Mishpatim is referring to the Torah. The HaMitzvah, I said, is the most important commandment, which is keeping God's laws, loving God and fearing God, having the right attitude. And therefore, when Moshe goes up to get Luchot Evan, Torah Mitzvah, in essence, what's he going up to get? He's going up to get the Luchot Evan, the contract, and the Mitzvah section, loving God and fearing God, and the Chukim Mishpatim, the laws we have to keep to become God's people in the land. Now, this is important for Shavuot. This is the Rambam makes a big deal about this. Be careful and make sure never to forget what happened at Har Sinai. Don't forget the day that you stood in front of God when God told me, gather the nation together and I'll tell them my words, which you have to learn to fear God all the days on your life. And then Moshe tells the story, you came to me under the mountain and you got scared and God spoke to you from the fire. You heard God, but you didn't see God. And then God told you his brit, which he commanded you, the 10 Devarim, Aser Tadvarim, and wrote them on two tablets of stone. And then God commanded me at that time to teach you Chukim Mishpatim, to keep them in the land, which you're now going to conquer, and make sure to keep them. You understand? This is the introduction to the speech. He goes on in the speech, and now don't stand up, but look at the introduction to the speech. The first speech is over in verse 40, and now look in verse 44. This is the narrator of Devarim coming back, introducing the speech from chapter 5 to 26. What's coming up? V'zot ha-Torah asher sam Moshe divnei b'nei Yisrael. What's coming up in the speech? The Torah that Moshe is teaching b'nei Yisrael, which includes edot, or warnings, and Musar, and Chukim Mishpatim, which God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu when they left Egypt. That was 40 years ago. And now, in Ivri Yarden, Moshe is teaching them one last time after we conquer. And then the speech begins in chapter 5. And when the speech is over, we're going to see there's a commandment in chapter 27. What is Moshe told to do? Considering that the whole book is the Torah, what do we have? I'll give you a source sheet that has all this later on. Moshe commands him when the speech is over. Remember, speech ended in chapter 26. Now we're in chapter 27. God tells Moshe, write down all these words of this Torah on big stones and write them in Har Eival. And when you cross the Jordan, put up these stones on Har Eival. And you build a mizbeach just like at Har Sinai. And then you write on these stones at Kol Divrei HaTorah Be'eretz. In other words, when we come into Israel, we're going to have a big learnathon on Har Eival. We're going to repeat them. And then finally, the last mitzvah of Devarim will be Hakel, where we go to the Beit HaMikdash and read the Torah, which are the laws of Devarim, every 7 years at the end of the Shemitah cycle. Now, my time's almost up, so let me get to some key points. So let me go back to how we began. My point was, when Moshe goes up at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, to receive the Ten Commandments in the Torah and the Mitzvah, what is he going to get? He's going to get the Luchot Eben, which is the contract, and two sections of laws, the Mitzvah section, which is attitude, and the Torah, which is the laws of Sefer Devarim, which are how to become God's nation. Now, the Mitzvah section, look how it ends. It ends beautifully with the second parsha of Kriyat Shema. With, if you follow my laws, and then listen carefully. This is the end of the mitzvah section. If you keep this whole attitude section, which I'm commanding you today, which is to do what? To love God and fear God. Then God will help you conquer your enemies. Wherever you go, I'll help you conquer. Say for Yeshua. And then give you a blessing and a curse if you follow me. A blessing, don't follow me. You'll be cursed. And then because God's bringing you to this land, God's bringing you to land to come to inherit it. And therefore, Ushmarten Lasot, when you come to land, keep these Chukim Mishpatim, which I'm commanding you today. And then good old chapter 12 begins the Chukim Mishpatim. We have the law. The first law will be about establishing a center. Hamakom HaShivchar Hashem L'Shaken Shmo Hashem. Remember? Hamakom HaShivchar Hashem is a big topic in chapter 12. Then we have laws about our economic system of giving Truman Maser, Aser Taser. Then we have the Shemitah. We have an economic system. Every 7 years, we annul our debts. Then we have to make sure we frequent this Hamakom HaShivchar Hashem on the Shalosh Regalim, chapter 16. Then we have setting up Parshat Shoftim, a judicial system, and everywhere. Then we have our Supreme Court. We have laws about our leadership, how a king the need for a king or a central government and how the king has to behave, laws about Nevi'im, laws about Kohanim and Levi'im, laws about going to war, who goes to war, when we go to war, and the laws about our marketplace, cities of refuge we're going to set up, laws about borders, we're going to have a set of laws that are going to establish us as a nation, and the book goes on in Parshat Ki Tetzeh, there'll be laws about social justice, marriage laws, Yibum laws and things like that, divorce laws, and laws about how we act in our marketplace and make sure that the poor and the needy are always taken care of. And the final law will be good old Bikurim. Again, that's a more detailed law in Sefer Dvarim, but I'm gonna send you a source sheet. I'll show you what I'm going to send you in a minute. Is that in Sefer Dvarim, we had the Ten Commandments and why we say Shema, but also the word Torah in Sefer Dvarim. This was a shir from Sefer, from Perach Avdalad. I'll send you this that we did in the beginning. And the word Torah in Sefer Dvarim that we just did, how the word Torah is referring to laws in Sefer Dvarim that Moshe is teaching over and over again. So in a nutshell, let me just summarize. Again, these will come out later on. What I want to summarize is following. That when we read Sefer Dvarim, we're reading a book which is the main book of Maamad Har Sinai. It's not just, oh, we entered a contract. This is how to take a concept and make it real, make it happen. How to apply that in real time in day-to-day life. That's going to be key to becoming God's people. And that contract comes with a set of practical laws which deal with your attitude and setting up a country. And that those laws need constant repetition. They surround us 24/7. You have to be studying and taught. We see these laws are not just laws, they're principles that the rabbis study and apply. As Moshe teaches these laws for the last time, he's taught these laws over and over again. The last time he teaches them, what does he do? He adds rebuke. The laws are 40 years old. The rebuke is 40 is brand new. Meaning, these laws have been taught many times by Moshe Rabbeinu. Chumash prefers to record them the last time they're taught, because as Moshe teaches them in Sefer Dvarim, what does he add? He adds, remember what God did to Miriam. Remember how you rebelled against God. Remember this, remember that. Maybe we'll add some explanations. The last time Moshe teaches these laws, they'll include explanations and rebuke and application, and they'll make it much more relevant. And that's what's so beautiful about Sefer Dvarim. And therefore, whenever we're going to find a discrepancy, there'll be always a good reason for it. Again, we can spend another couple hours studying Sefer Dvarim and all the differences and how this approach solves almost every single one of them. But the key thing, which I want to end with, is that especially how this relates to things nowadays. One of the core themes of Har Sinai is not just, oh, we're God's people. Oh, it's a privilege. God takes special care of you. We took on a responsibility to be God's people forever. But we serve God not only by our individual behavior, we serve God by our national behavior. We were talking before this year began about how we're viewed as a community. When other nations see us acting, that's not sometimes they don't just see an individual Jew, they see a Jewish community, they'll see a Jewish state. And having a Jewish community and state is a tremendous potential to sanctify God if that community and state are acting properly. It's a tremendous opportunity, unfortunate opportunity, to desecrate God's name when they're acting poorly. But the core concept that we serve God as a nation, as a people, which again, it begins with the individual, goes to the family, to the community, and ultimately to the nation. It's a tremendous opportunity that we have to be worthy of. And in the last 53 years, whatever, we have Jerusalem. In the last 70 some years, we have a Jewish state. We've turned our country over the last 100 years. After 2,000 years of not being able to fulfill these laws of Sefer Dvarim, we have a 2,000-year break in Jewish law and custom of halakha, of how to pasken laws, how to follow Jewish law on a national level, how a Jewish army is supposed to behave, how a Jewish police force is going to behave, how do you run an economic system, being a Jewish country. We know how to keep kosher. We know how to keep Tarat HaMishpacha. We've been keeping that, keeping Shabbat for 4,000 years straight. We have a halakhic tradition. The ideas of being a Jewish people serving God, we had a break of some 2,000 years, and that's one of the biggest challenges facing us today. And therefore, when we study Maamad Har Sinai, it's important to understand what are the core concepts of Matan Torah, not just what are our privileges, what's our responsibilities, and what's its purpose. And the idea that it's not just a Jew serves God in an individual behavior, we serve God in a national behavior, how to apply that in real-time challenging situations when we have a Jewish state and not everyone's perfect, and we have Jewish people break the law and thieves, without getting into modern day politics. That's how we act as a nation. That has to be important as we guide ourselves through our lives. So with that, we leave with a blessing that we can take our Torah study, which we have almost nothing else to do during these interesting times. And we can dedicate this time that we're in quarantine and things like that to Torah study. And hopefully be able to apply the Torah that we're learning in a much better way when things go back to normal. And thank you, Rabbi Kamlin, for organizing this series.
And thank you.
Hope I didn't do too much, cover a lot of material today, but again, I'll send
you. No, we look forward to more. I thought you might address some of the differences in the first and the second Lukot. That's a whole other shear, of course.
That's another three-part series.
Right. Okay. All right. We can talk about that afterwards. But okay. Thank you very much.